Again, welcome everybody to the Blessings of Christ. It is May 3rd, 2026. We're already into the beautiful month of May. Glenda will be here shortly to join us. So glad you're here. So glad you find this an important time and part of your week, part of your day on Sunday to tune in, to come together. Everything you are and be and do matters, and we're so glad that you're with us today. So got a question, if you have something that last week is burning in your heart that you didn't get a chance to share or ask, be sure to use that *6 and then get yourself in the queue with the one, or we'll get you in at the end of the call, and we'll have a nice time today. We're going to continue forward on the chapter Pathways to Success. Glenda is picking different topics that people are requesting to kind of pull some of the, you know, the meaty things and the you know, hone in on some of the great information in a particular thought, idea, concept, lesson, teaching. Not necessarily going up by a chapter, but really more a theme. And that pathway did have all those four elements. Be the love that you are. Do the right thing. Follow life and the living. And today we'll be going over forgiveness, a big one. So I love that he said you're better off forgiving your neighbor blocking your driveway than a terrorist on the other side of the planet. And obviously meaning whatever's closest to you to forgive. And that would certainly include ourselves. We do things daily that, you know, maybe there's little things, you know, that, wow, I could have done better on that. And instead of burdening ourselves and being the dump truck with the clang clang, you know, release it, forgive it, and learn from it, grow from it. So glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. I'm going to look at and see if we even have anybody in the queue yet. We do. That's exciting. So someone's already ready to share something at the end. So if you feel on your heart you want to share something, just get that *6 going. And bring your family, your friends. People you know who would be benefiting today by these shared messages, and Glenda really honing in on the teachings of Yeshua from Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua. We'd love them to join us. So I'll give us a second here. I'm going to just be quiet now and give us a moment just to be at peace in our heart and to intend a really beautiful time together.
Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome today to our Blessings of Christ on the most beautiful spring day. Nancy, it's great to see you here, and thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm just in a very enlightened, happy state today. So it's May,
y'all.
And I love May.
Nancy just officially retired from her long-term career. I believe it was Thursday, wasn't it?
Well, I was there almost 20 years with the district, but then, you know, I did youth ministry 10 years before that. So, yeah, it's been a long, you know, and other things before that.
And obviously so many people were blessed by your presence there. And congratulations. I just want to say that because you deserve the finest reward you can get. And thank you so much for being here today. We love you too, and we're not going to give you a retirement for a while.
Well, I love everybody here.
You don't get away that easy, Nancy.
Okay.
we'll be doing this when we check into heaven. So
yeah, I find that word retire kind of a funny word in a way, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
it
is. I kind of prefer, although I don't fully understand the British way. They'll say you've gone redundant, and it doesn't quite fit my understand. Redundant usually means one time too many. So I don't use the, I don't like the word, but I kind of like that I don't understand it. That way I don't add any connotations to it. But
love it.
Anyway, we know you're going to be busier than ever because all the grandkids know your grandma is there for them. So
true.
Your
well,
busy, loving life, just keep going on to better and better things. And may it always be that way. Here, we're having an absolutely glorious day with our weather. It's one of those days that poets and singers write about and celebrate. You know, this day is why we love spring. We just wish we had more of them. But it is truly a glorious day, and we're going to have a wonderful time with our blessing today. And, well, anything you want to add, Nancy, about what's happening, what we need to focus on?
You know, just with sharing with our community just, you know, these pathways that we've been talking about these last several weeks and how perfect that we're wrapping up with forgiveness and how Yeshua had said, you know, you're better off forgiving your neighbor blocking your driveway than terrorists on the other side of the earth. And that, you know, that means closest person to you. And that's you. And,
well, you know, that's so true, Nancy. And one of the things that I find so wonderful about his ministry is that on the one hand, he's the Son of God. He can do all these amazing things that he says someday we'll be able to do. I don't see how personally, but I'm trying to still live up to blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the keys of heaven. If I can accomplish that one, I'll feel I made great strides in this life. But anyway, yes, his miracles, his redemptive power, his leadership, and his forgiveness of us and all of humanity are the resounding glories of his life. But at the same time, and this is the other side I was going to mention, is he made everything so relatable to us. He didn't come in with teachings from the ultra wise, the ultra liberated, the ascended returned or the ascended on their way. He was not above where people live, think, do, create, and share. He made everything so relatable. And, you know, we stand a little bit challenged, because we want to, do our best. Of course. And we think that motivation is what will make this happen. That's been a very, very highly purposed and practiced orientation for, oh, my goodness, I would say the last 40 years. And even before that with the transcendental teachers of the late 19th century who still continue their work through the whole 20th century. Motivation was the it thing. And there's not much of that from Yeshua. Not much. He gave us four pillars to success. And you don't have to be extremely motivated about them. You just have to do them. And doing them brings out everything inside you that carries you up to the place you want to be liberated from the extreme cares of the world, oriented toward practical solutions, following opportunities that life and the good life bring to you, and then the other principle that we're going to cover a little bit more today. We won't, it's a big subject, so we're not going to even try to dig more than 3 inches below the surface. It's huge. And that is
the subject of forgiveness. It's just something that we can't delay, we can't avoid, and the clock is ticking. So we're going to do what we can today and possibly touch on this again as we go through more of our Sunday services. You know, we are selecting right now passages from Love Without End. We finished going through the chapters formally, like a study course. We were taking up one chapter every Sunday. Sometimes it was three Sundays on one chapter because it was so meaty and so deep. We just did it. But we finished that. We went on to the keys of Yeshua. But here's the thing. You never finish with a teaching from Yeshua because there is no one and done. There is no getting there. There's only the process of rising up toward the, and he says, toward the only one who is good. As we were, as I was just scanning a little bit what I was going to cover today, he was addressed as, you are so good, you're good. How do we deal with these things? And he rebuked them instantly. He said, I'm not good. Now, that's Yeshua. That's Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not good. There's only one that is good, and that is our Father in heaven, Lord of all. He is good. He is the one you strive to be with. He is the one you strive with to be a better person. He is the one you cultivate in your life. You don't avoid. You don't separate. You seek to be with him as a child would be with his father in a state of innocence. I'm kind of skirting through different passages in Matthew 18, that chapter of Matthew. 18 and 21 to verse 21 to 22 is what we will focus on today. And then we're going to skip on to verse 35 and we'll take a look at that. But before we get there, I just want to be kind of, a little bit, he always encourages me, no matter what I say, no matter what I teach, just be relatable. And don't worry if they don't get it. Don't worry if it's all a process, because he says that's all it will ever be, is a process. And he looked me, this is when we were together, he looked me square in the eye, and he said, just like every day for you is a process of understanding. Okay. Here's proof of it. I mean, literally in black and white in writing. I have never, I mean, even though I was blessed to be the scribe for Love Without End, and I don't say I wrote it because he's the author, but I did transcribe it. Okay, I was the scribe, and I was blessed to be that. And I thought I knew every word that was in that book. I never go back again and again and again that each time I don't ask myself, why did I miss that? Was that part of the original edition? When did that get added? Well, what happened is it got added by improvements in my consciousness, improvements in my life, my understanding. And I come back to it again, freshly, and I see what was there all along that I didn't see before. And you're going to find that happening to you as you reconnect with your Creator, with God Almighty, or through the Holy Spirit. You're going to find that each day is not just a new day by measure of the sun's orbit and the calendar. It's literally a new day inside you. If I had my experience to go on, I would have to say, you're not just born again once. You're going to be continually born again with every interval and transformation you go through in the process of recovering yourself and understanding that you are a work in progress and you are accepted by the one who created you to be a work in progress. You are not expected to be perfect right now. But there are ways you can do it better. There are ways you can make progress in life. And hopefully, some of the things we talk about today will make that possible for you. I'm gonna skip ahead like I didn't think I was going to do, but see, this happens to me in the process of just talking to you. I think of better ways to do something. There's a passage in this chapter of Matthew where I would recommend the whole 18th chapter of Matthew, because this is his recommendation, his direct recommendation about everything. What do you do to make it, and it's everything right. How you hold the children, how you maintain the rights of marriage, how do you tell the truth, how are you responsible for this, that, and the other. It's a beautiful transcribe of life. But now we get down to the 35th verse, and he's telling us about how we need to forgive as God has forgiven us. Because God has forgiven us, we don't need any other motivation. And that is almost exactly a line from the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we have given those of others. Only he expands on it a little bit in this verse 35. And he talks about the man who was offended or abused or trespassed upon. However, it's different in different translations. But anyway, the one to whom something bad was done. And God asked him to forgive him. And he did. And this man accepted it, and that was fine. But then the man who was the forgiver, who obeyed God and forgave this other person, the one who was the forgiver, did some things wrong himself. Yeah. And he went to God and asked God forgiveness. And he said, no, you've got to forgive. Do not take back what you forgave before. Don't take it back. Yeah, but he offended me again. Why can't I take it back? And God said to him, would you like me to take back the forgiveness I've given you? You see, what I get from that is that God has already forgiven us countless things we didn't even ask for. We're in a pretty good state of life with much to be grateful for, because we've been forgiven one step at a time all the way through our life. And so when we withhold forgiveness from others, God will say to us, okay, so you don't think forgiveness is important. Well, no, and he does it again and again. No, I don't. And God says, okay, well, I think I'll just take back all the forgiveness I've given to you. And the man goes, what? How did you say that? Okay. So this is what I'm going to use, this little passage, to go back to an earlier passage where Peter asked him, and he says, it's been said that if a man offends you or trespasses, you should forgive him seven times. And Yeshua says, no, you should forgive him 70 times seven. And that, plus the original seven, comes to 497 times. Who have you ever forgiven for 497 times? That's kind of like saying you just always forgive them. Okay, but this brings us to a very complicated part of that teaching that we face in the real world. And that is, are we giving somebody else permission to keep doing that? That's what we get stopped on. I know, it's for me too, anybody. You know, and so that's why we have a court of law, that we can accompany forgiveness with a penalty. And, you know, God never said you couldn't apply a penalty along with the forgiveness, but it's a burden to do that. But that is why we eventually created the laws, so that we know if a person is caught speeding at 70 miles an hour down a residential street, where children might be playing and beloved pets might be crossing the street, they're not just going to get a ticket and be forgiven. They're going to be taken into re-education of driving, or perhaps they might lose their license. And so we've turned these things over to the law. And in many cases, that settles our issue with it, because we think, well, you know, he's going to try to be a better person. But do you stop forgiving? No. There's a reason why. A very big reason. And I think it's the main reason so many people are dealing with a weight problem in our country, because the heavy weight they're carrying is they're forgiving nobody of anything. Believe me, that translates into physical heaviness. And I have been there. There was a time back in the early 80s when this little gal, who's 4'5", was 180 pounds. And I had taken this up with a doctor, and I had been given diets and exercise, you know, the traditional prescription. Didn't lose a pound. And I took a look at what is this weight I'm carrying, and every bit of it was a sense of failure and grudges I was holding on to, and conflicts. In the later in the 80s and moving into the 90s, but in the early 80s, the Texas oil boom was over, and people who were wanting to add fine works of art that they paid good prices for had ended. I had no business, and my career as an artist was virtually over. Now, it would come back, but at that point in time, I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad at myself for having expected this to go on, and it wasn't. And I was mad at people who would come to me and a painting that had sold for $10,000 a few years ago, that asked me if I could do another one like it for, let's say, maybe $1,000. And I went, no, not just no, H no. No. And I was giving up my career. I was mad. And I didn't want to forgive. I really didn't. And there were people in my life who were putting pressure on me. And I was mad about that. And I couldn't go 2 hours in a day without walking into some kind of conflict. Like galleries didn't want to show my art anymore because it wasn't showing, selling. Galleries had debts I had to pay. It was horrible. And I just put on all this weight. Well, I took a look at it and I just said, okay, Glenda, what kind of weight do you want to carry? Do you want to carry the weight of regret, the weight of anger? And I wrote a newsletter telling everyone how I was feeling and that I really believed that everything they had invested in would come back around because I was devoted to my career. And I thank God that I had one, that I was able to enjoy it the way I did, and that so many paintings were in major museums now. And because of that, I said, whatever you pay invested in my art will hold its value. So don't worry about what I'm going through. I will be fine. I just unloaded all the grief, all the resentments, all the hardship. And it was just a matter of about 3 months till I was back to 130 pounds. And it wasn't, I didn't diet. I didn't exercise. I got rid of my load because the load we carry will be expressed in the load we become. What you think, you become. If all of your attention is on the load you carry, you may just become that load. And this is no strike of judgment against you because we've all been there. If you want to age gracefully and not prematurely, get rid of that load. I get so many comments when I'm out or go to see my doctor or just go out to meet someone for lunch, and they'll say something like, I just can't believe that you are the age you are. You look like you're 65. What do you do? What's your secret? And I said, I just forgive. And they go, you must not have had any troubles in life. I said, oh, you have no idea the troubles I've forgiven. And they'll say, you mean it works? And I said, yep. And I said, you know, what Yeshua said to everybody is that as you forgive, you become like a little child. And it is the children who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't just talking about 4-year-old biological children. He was talking about you becoming young again. You will inherit the kingdom of heaven by taking the load off. It's the load that's aging you. It's the load that's affecting your health. It's the load that's causing your discouragement. Okay. I hope by now, by saying this, I have made this very relatable to you. I've been everywhere I'm talking about to you. And the greatest gift of all the gifts, and there have been many, that Yeshua has given me, is he's given me the gift of forgiveness. Not just forgiving me, but also allowing me to forgive myself. You know, I can't even number among the leaves on a tree times I've said to myself, how can I be doing this work? I'm so unworthy as a human being to do this work. And he'll say, cut it out right now. You're not supposed to be perfect. You will not be perfect until you're in heaven. You're doing the best you can. Keep it up. Keep it up. And he would encourage me, and I would, and I would go back to work and say, okay, I can be joyful in this, even though I can't be perfect. I can be joyful. And sometimes I read through the scriptures or read through the book to you, and I don't get every word right, and I think, well, that's okay. Maybe it'll just make it more relatable to them, because you don't have to be perfect for him to talk to you, for him to be with you. When he was on the cross dying, he was about to forgive everyone. But before he got to that point, he looked at the thief hanging beside him, and he said to this, the thief acknowledged to him that he knew he was the Messiah, that he was who he claimed to be. And Yeshua just said, and you will be with me in paradise this day. He didn't wait for that thief to even say, forgive me. He just asked for that thief to say, I want to be with you because I know who you are. You see, this is the thing about God we don't get, is God never separated from you. He couldn't. He created every molecule in your body. He created every atom you breathe in the air. He couldn't be anywhere but with you. But we wanted to be autonomous and independent and examined what made us unique and to have an adventure in life where we could play out our talents, our abilities, or our relationship skills. Who could we attract to us? Who could we be with? Well, there's only one you really need to be with, and that's the one that created you. And pardon me, I get hiccups when I get excited. And then from that state of unity, all those that come to be with you, be grateful for and just say, oh, nice to meet you. Hey, let's talk about life. You know, make new friends every day. People will want to be with you when you're with God, and you don't have to preach to them because they will know it. The thing is, you see, here's the secret. God lives in them too. Even if they're a surly kind of character that puts an F word in between everything they say, who looks like he's about a week overdue for a bath, and comes from nowhere, going nowhere, but he says, hey, how you doing? And you start to pull away. Why? Probably because he wants to put his hat out to you and say, could you spare a couple of dollars? Well, I do spare a couple of dollars and maybe more. It all depends on what I've got in my wallet at that time. But the thing is, that's not the real gift you give him. The real gift you give him is that you don't smell him. You don't see the dirt. You don't hear the bad language. You just look him in the eye and you say, hey, want some company? You know he's going to say yes. Now, initially, he might say yes for all the wrong reasons to see if you got a little more money he can hit you up for, but you don't be scared. Just, you know, you're in a public place where it's safe, and you just sit on the ledge of a window or lean up to a car and say, are you doing okay? You got a place to sleep tonight? Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's okay. And by that time, you know what? His voice has changed. It's different. It's a different voice that's there. He's not exactly happy, but it's a smooth voice. And he likes being with you. And he says, well, you know, I got to go see if I can round up a little more money, but sure was nice meeting you. And he goes away, and you go away, and you were with another person that you might not have imagined in 1,000 years you would be with. And you don't know who that person is. But that person might have been, at one time, an upstanding CEO of a business. He might have just fallen on hard times. That man might have lost his kids in a divorce. And his heart is broken. And because his heart is broken, he doesn't care if his clothing is broken. You don't know. All you know for sure, in everyone, that God is there. Because God does not leave his creation. God does not break his love. You can't break the heart of God. You can move back and he'll say, okay, I'll honor your wishes. Let me know when you need me again. And that's probably exactly when you will do it, when you need him again. That's the story of the prodigal son. And, of course, the ones who stayed, they got jealous because this man that came back home with a bath 3 weeks overdue and no money to pay his bills and no friends. Well, why should our father accept him back in when we've been the faithful ones? Well, the father has no judgment. My friends, God's going to receive you when you get to heaven. You're going to be reviewed, not judged. You're being judged right now. Everything that's happening to you is a judgment. But when you go, when you leave, you go home, you won't be judged. You're going to be reviewed. You're going to be taken into the presence of God, who's going to talk to you like a father talks to his son and finds out, how come this happened? Why did you do that? How would you like to see that recovered? Oh, he's not going to just let you ride through the gates without talking to you. Just like if, you know, let's say you're a parent. Your kid is gone for 3 years. You welcome him back with a hug. But then it's like, okay, tell me about it. What's going on? I want to know everything. That's how you would handle it. How would any parent handle that? You are loved. Period. End of story. But it doesn't mean that you're being optimally functional. And you may not be optimally functional. Take a look at your life. Well, you may need to start forgiving. And Yeshua said 70 times 7. I would add to that, look for somebody to forgive every day. And never stop looking. Everyone you can get your hands on, forgive them. Everyone you can get your eyes on, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how much perfection exists inside them. Here's why we run into that problem. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve's separation from God. It was all the way back to that. And God saying, okay, this world is yours. You create it. Okay. What we're looking for, and everybody else, is we're looking for restitution and resolution in the outer world. In other words, in the world. Well, that's not where it happens. It happens in the inner world. We stepped outside of the inner world. What the Garden of Eden really means is your perfection inside. Everything inside you, and that means in your heart, but also in every cell of your body, in every strand of DNA, in all you inherited, capable of the whole spiritual cocoon around you, everything that you are, is the garden. And God knew that as we focused upon problems in the external world, we would leave the garden. It's not somewhere between the Tigris, the Euphrates River. I get exhausted even thinking about that. It's not someplace in the Middle East that we're fighting over, for heaven's sake. It's inside each one of us. You are a walking garden, and you're looking outside the garden trying to straighten everything up in the world and actually creating a garden. I think of my mother so often when I get into this. She tried her best and did an award-winning accomplishment in her best to build a garden that could house in Texas plants from all over the world, because she truly believed that God was the gardener and all she had to do was provide a little bit of help. And she was, her garden was written up by the I think he was the horticultural editor of the New York Times. She did. She accomplished a lot. She was given the Nobel Gold Award for 3 years in a row for the greatest accomplishment in gardening in Texas. So, no, it wasn't a little accomplishment. It was a big one. And she started her life out being the daughter of a cotton planter. And he put his kids to work in the field as soon as they were 3 years old. She carried a little sack, and she would put cotton blooms in her sack. That's how she started her life. And how she ended it was with a garden. But she missed the garden inside. She carried different levels of torment with her all her life. I won't go into what those were because that's her private realm. But she did. You can't solve this problem with an outside garden. You can't build the most beautiful art museum, the most beautiful sports arena, the most beautiful city, the most beautiful playground for your kids. You can't do that and solve what's wrong with the world. We can't fight over the Middle East and correct that problem, because what we're all trying to find is that ragtime jazz playing garden inside. And that's where you need to learn. That's where you need to look. And the only thing that's going to open that up is forgiveness. And Yeshua says, and this is a passage that's in chapter 18. I don't have it in front of me because I stepped away from my Bible. But anyway, he says that as you forgive, you become as a little child. So that's the reward. Children inherit the kingdom of heaven. As you forgive, you become clear and clean, like the innocence of a little child. I learned a number of years ago when I started presenting seminars around the books I had written that I could prepare for weeks for that seminar. I could have it all written down in a ring, printed out in a ring binder. It was all there, perfectly printed. And the minute I walked into the seminar room, and I looked around at everyone, established eye contact and soul contact, literally read the room. I put that ring binder on the back table and never opened it again, because I knew that if there was anything of value that I was going to present to you, to the attenders in the seminar, but some of you were there, it would come from him through me to you without excessive preparation. I think it was good that I prepared my soul to be open and arise and in a state of greeting to everyone that was there. Yes, the fact that I had made myself open to receiving every soul arriving there and speak to what you needed was important. But what I wrote down, printed out, and put on that ring binder just became eclipsed, completely eclipsed by our arrival in that room together. And we had a great time, wonderful time. And after it was all over, I flipped through that ring binder just out of human curiosity. Did I actually cover everything? And I had covered everything probably in the first 2 hours. And then we went on to 2 days longer. We covered so much more than I thought was ever possible. And that came from just being present. The most important thing you can do in your life that will take you through all four of these stages, pathways to success. I'll recount those. The first is be the love that you are. Okay, that's number one. Number two is do the right thing. And that's not, it's very a long ways from just a moral recommendation. Sure, it's good to be a moral, responsible person, because how can you really love one another without taking their needs and their rights into consideration? Of course, that's an obvious. But doing the right thing is so much more important than that. Simple example, if you just let the yard die because you were too busy to water it or turn the sprinkler on, it's going to cost you a whole lot more to put in a new lawn. Don't let things dry up around you. Don't let things be neglected around you. Do the best you can. Do that extra mile at work. Do that extra courtesy with your friends. Realize that they need a break too. It's called empathy. Just let's be here with one another. Do the right thing. You may not mean it because you're a little upset with somebody, but smile at them anyway. Wish them a happy day. You know, that eases the tension. It makes it possible for maybe later on you can just sit down and talk. In fact, in this same chapter of Matthew, Yeshua explains to Peter. Well, he's still interrogating. He had to constantly be interrogating Yeshua. But he's asking, well, how will you know how much to forgive and how to assign a penalty? And Yeshua said, well, the first thing you do is you just talk to him. You talk to him. Ask him what was going on. And he said, you know, by the time you've talked it out, you may find there's nothing to forgive in the first place. You may find there's nothing to penalize in the second place. Most of the judgments, and he said this really in a very direct way, most of the judgments are being made in your own mind. Find out what really happened. Find out where he's really coming from. Then you can assess it more accurately, and he will be more amenable to any penalties or any extra compensation he needs to make for what he did for you. You got to talk through things. And he said, you know, if you can't talk through things, then take it up with the synagogue, okay? And if that doesn't work, then you take it up with civil authorities. And then he said, if that doesn't work, well, you just separate from that person. You just make him a stranger in your world. And some people just need to be assigned that position. They're not ready to be friends with you. They're not respectful enough to be friends with you. There's a beautiful passage in the final chapter of Love Without End about when what to do when love steps away or ends. Well, Jesus just says, it's not your time to be together. Let go of it. Don't judge it. Just walk on down the road. It's not always time for you to be with everybody. Just let go. You don't need to stay attached and try to figure it out. So I'm kind of skipping through chapters here. I've touched base on several things, but there's a miracle in forgiveness. But I think at the same time, there's also an art form to forgiveness. And it begins with communication. It begins with being present in the face of an offender. Like, come here, I want to talk to you. You give that person a face to talk to on why they were racing down your residential street when you have children. Come here, talk to me. A little bit of face-to-face is part of that art form. It's walking that extra mile. What we're trying to do here overall is activate conscience in others, because if we all have an indwelling conscience for our actions, we will have a civilized world. If we can grieve over the harm that has been done to others, we can have a healing and benevolent world. So when you sit down to talk with somebody, the goal is just to let them know that you've been hurt. You've been hurt badly, and you don't want any more of that. And if they just go away, then let them go away. But you don't keep attaching to them. You just let them go. It means they're not meant to be with you right now. But you've cleared the air on it. Clearing the air is a great part of the art of forgiveness. You just clear the air. Sometimes prayer, letting God know what hurt you, clearing the air with the one who really cares, who can really make changes in your life. It works. It's part of the art form of forgiveness. You know, how can you forgive everything? Well, you can't forgive everything all at once. You in your own right need to understand it. You need to think about yourself, things you've done that this might have come as retribution and learning. This brings up a conversation that I had with Yeshua once, and I said, what do you have to say about failure? And he said, there is no failure. There's just learning opportunities. And sometimes they come hard. Well, sometimes things that were done to us that we didn't like were learning opportunities about times before when you might have hurt somebody else. You need to consider that in everything, because you cannot make yourself right. Rightness always already exists within the depths of you, but you've got to reconnect with that rightness by learning your lessons, being willing to be responsible, and accepting that what happened to you may have been a retribution from God. And it frequently is. I'll dare to say something. Now, this is just my own contrivance. But it's my feeling that people don't wake up every morning say, what can I do wrong today? How can I be mischievous today and get on somebody's nerves? How can I be the bad guy today? Well, there may be some psychopathic people in this world who would say that, but a normal, healthy human being, they're not going to say that. They go into the grumpy side when something doesn't work for them. They go into the super grumpy side when somebody accuses them of something because it reminds them of all the things they're mad about. In other words, this bad spirit is cultivated by the degree to which we're not artfully handling what happens to us in the course of a day. Sometimes just backing off and being in your silence is enough. Just be silent. Don't be reactive. One of the most miraculous and amazing surprises you could give to somebody who's actually trying to hurt you is that you don't care enough to even respond. You just stay silent and go about your business and let that scorpion sting itself. It's an amazing feeling when it works. And I'd like to tell you, it works a lot. Yeshua did that. There were times when he just wouldn't talk to someone. Times he went to the desert. Times someone would ask him for a healing and he would refuse it. He wasn't here to be a salad bar that we just come and take from and take from and take from. He expects us to be responsible of our life. And he left us with those two commandments because that's the only thing that will make us be responsible. If we love God enough to reconnect. Okay, he said to love God with your heart, mind, and soul. That means with everything you've got, you love God. That means you're going to reconnect. And reconnecting with God is going to teach you responsibility. It's going to activate your conscience. It's going to activate your creativity. It's going to bring inspiration. It's going to bring guidance for you. And love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Not just love him. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I don't like what this person is doing, but I'm going to send them love because they need something. You're not that generous. You can't send somebody love big enough to solve their life. Now, Yeshua could. Of course, the Creator can. The Holy Spirit can. But you're not. That's just an act of avoidance. You don't want to shake their hand, but you still got to pray for them. Okay? That's an act of avoidance. You love your neighbor as yourself. What would you be doing if you were in that person's shoes? How would you do it? How would you reconcile your life with the life around you? Love them as if it was you. That's what that means. When they're like me, I'll love them. Boy, is that a super trick. I love them when they're like me. Well, anybody can love someone who's like themselves. How about loving them when they're not like you? That's a big art form. And it means being responsible for yourself. Being forgiving of yourself. Really, you're not going to forgive everybody out there until you forgive yourself. And you've got more grudges against yourself than you know. That's where that weight is coming in. You're not forgiving yourself. You think you have to be perfect to deserve this, that, or another. just get the job done. That's how I got the courage to do what I did. It was calling me to paint a portrait. I didn't want to do it. He gave me an image to paint. I still had to think about it. And then I studied about, I looked up all these pictures that had been painted about him, and I looked at them and I thought, yeah, but I don't want to do that. And finally, one day I said, okay, let's just get this job done. I decided on the size with a little bit of inspirational help from the Holy Spirit that it was going to be 48 by 48. That's 4 square by 4 square. And it was going to be the finest Belgian linen you could buy. And I broke the bank buying that linen. And then I personally created the ground on which that painting would be painted. Before that, of course, is before I actually picked up a paintbrush. But every day for a while, I just said to myself, okay, let's just get the job done. And then one day, it became my life. I had done enough. And I had done enough, well enough, that I felt so grateful for the ability to be there and work that day. And that became my life. That's what happened to me again on April the 26th, which Nancy and Genia commented on that day. Well, that was last Sunday, April the 26th. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. See, I had been visiting churches ever since the painting had been completed. Almost every Sunday I was out there, and I would tell them about my experience. The key word there is about my experience. But I didn't tell anybody that I had a conversation. No. I wasn't going to open myself up to being that vulnerable, that spiritually innocent with anyone, intimate. No way. Well, I was in a bookstore. Brian and I had gone out to have dinner and a movie, and after the movie was over, this was a bookstore that was still open, because we started early. It was still open. I walked along, and I saw a book, a spiritual book that I had been interested in reading for some time. And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I felt the energy, and I put it back down. I didn't buy it, but what rushed through my mind, and it was a big deal what rushed through my mind because it transformed my life, is, girl, you have been given the secrets of the universe, the transformative prescription for humankind. If you won't share that, why should you learn from anyone else? My conscience took hold right then. And I knew it was talking to me. And I just said, you're right. I've got to do it. And that's when the book of my life opened. This was the new book that was going to be. It's really relevant that it was initiated by a book I picked up that I wanted to receive perhaps some more spiritual guidance on. And I put it down. And that voice came in that I know so well and said, you've already got the book. You need to open it. So from that point on were my presentations that were recorded, my confessions of presence and everything else that became the book and everything else that opened up in my life. So that was really the birthday of my life as I know it. The rest was just being in a different kind of womb. And now we are here, running a little bit late as we often do, but it was my pleasure to be here with you. It was my pleasure to offer the few things I know about forgiveness, and that you can literally work miracles, including a last one I will let you know. I got to share with this one. I came from my fallen existence in the Corpus Christi era on the coast of Texas, where I had lost my husband, lost my home, everything had crashed around me, and I had a level 9 in my spine. And one of the reasons I moved up here instead of just staying there is that I could get better medical help. And I did my research, and I found out who was the most respected, successful spinal doctor up here. And I did get an appointment with him. He took the x-rays. We did an MRI. He looked at them. Then he met with me. And he says, we're not going to do anything. Now, this was a doctor with a license to do everything. We're talking about a standard medical physician. Not out of the box. I'm talking about mainline, with more credits than any other spinal surgeon in this area. And he said, we're not going to do anything. I'll put you in physical therapy. And he said, beyond that, you're going to deal with this. He told me to deal with it. Well, by the time I went through a lot of processes in dealing with it, but the thing that really, really changed is when I decided to accept it. I said, okay, well, if this is my life, I'll accept it. I have so much to be grateful for. I have so much that I've been given. I have so much to love and so much work left to do. If I do it with this, okay, it's all right. I stopped resisting it. In other words, I forgave it. I didn't hold that pain or my spine hostage. I didn't hold my condition hostage. I just did it. And 2 weeks later, the pain was all gone. I'm talking about all gone. I could jump. I could jump rope. I could bend over and touch my toes. I scheduled a seminar to celebrate my recovery. Yeshua celebrated with me, and he said, see, you can do it. And I said, no, you did it for me. He says, no, I didn't. He says, you did it. You forgave yourself. See, I barely could forgive myself that I had let things become so out of control in my years on the coast. So, suboptimum. I was still working. I was still writing. I was still doing what I could. But I had compromised my belief in what was possible, way down to the point where I was consigning myself to a lower level of being and performance. And what happened is that I forgave all of that, and I came back. So there are stages in our life where we will reopen the book of our life and we'll read it. And all of those have to do with forgiving ourselves of something. Of something. How can you forgive others when you haven't forgiven yourself? Okay. Nancy, we're going to pass the baton to you, because we're going to have to really, really wave that baton, that baton around to get us onto the blessing.
Okay, we just have one caller, and I'm sure whoever it is will be brief, but she or he has been there, so I'm going to open your line. Welcome from California.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you?
Hello, Christine.
I think you've got
yourself
muted. Christine?
Am I unmuted now? Okay.
Yes, you're unmuted.
Oh, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Thank you. I won't take a lot of time. I wanted to come on and tell everybody that Mount Shasta had the blessed opportunity, anyhow, a large circle of people, to meet Glenda Green, who ordained me as a minister of Spiritus Church in the presence of a lot of people who have completely walked away from Christianity. There was a beautiful response. I wanted you to know, Glenda, I have no words to thank you for hanging in there when everything fell apart. I was like, okay, I just got to trust God here. Oh,
exactly.
And you,
that's it. That's it.
Oh, man, you were so steadfast. I was like, she is the example. Shut down. Drink water, Christine. Sit down and let these people figure it out until God helps us.
Exactly. That's it. And the Lord is always saying to you, you can do this. You can do this. But in order to do that, you have to be present.
Totally.
That's the key.
And there were a lot of people that were being so present that they weren't focusing. In other words, around here, everybody's like, oh, whatever happens is wonderful. And I'm like, no, there's an ordination that needs to go forward. So I was trying to bring in some people with common sense and saying, you know, we need to go to, let's try option 3. I know I'm going to run downstairs with Soul Connections. I bet there's someone that can do check. He came up, boom, we had the mic.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
exactly.
There you go.
See,
so anyhow,
that was a
thank you.
You are so welcome. I was blessed by being there. And that was a sequence of 1,000 forgivenesses all in a row. We stop ourselves from progressing by hanging onto little unforgiveness. No, I can't go. The car won't run today. Forgive it.
Totally. And it was like, all I knew is when I looked around, there were several people that already know you, love you so much, that they were sitting in the audience with their eyes shut, holding space. And I went,
This is me.
This is it. I'm going to just join you. And we all were like, this ordination is happening no matter. And then a group of people left. And I suddenly, and God said to me, they weren't supposed to be here. I went,
That's right. Oh my God,
it never occurred to me. I'm so busy trying to, help everybody, whatever they need. And it turns out that those people that were there when you started, when the ordination started, everyone was quiet, their eyes shut, they went into deep meditation through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I praise God for you.
You are so welcome. And the ones who left may not have left because they were discouraged with you. They might have had appointments somewhere else.
Of course, this was unforeseen and it's very important to you to, God bless you. Thank you for coming and have a great day. That's what we just did.
Exactly.
Well, we got
to move on, Christine, but
all right.
Welcome to our community of ministers.
Thank you.
Nancy is one in all the way up to a priest of our church. So there are many of our ministers who will want to meet you.
I would be so happy to meet you, Nancy, sometime when it's appropriate and good for you.
It will happen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll let you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye. Enjoy this beautiful weekend. Bye-bye. Okay, Glenda, that is
All right, everybody, we may have some new. So I'm going to just say quickly, stretch all your extremities, bend over a little bit so you get the kinks out of your body. We won't take time for any, even miniature calisthenics, but get movement going, because what's coming into you is going to come through as a force of energy. Now, it's going to be quiet. It's not going to push you around. You're not going to feel vibration in your chair, but you might. Some people do. I just want you to be seated in your chair to the degree that that's possible for you. If you have to be in bed, then okay, but try to get your head propped up enough that the top of your head is pointing off the bed, okay, because you're going to be receiving from galactic forces of energy coming in from places unknown to you that is way above anything we could even imagine, and you want to be able to receive those. And your feet on the ground to the best that you can, because the earth grounds you. And it's possible, like if you're in bed, let your legs drop off the side of the bed, you know, and draw up the energy from the earth. It's your grounding energy. It's what keeps you in place and holds you together while you're receiving this fantastic, inconceivable ray of energy coming to you to offer your blessings that will be imprinted in your body, heart, soul, and being to unfold and be payable to you whenever you're in a situation that activates them. It's being poured into you now and will come forth on your behalf according to the relevance of a situation, the generosity, the love, and the care that is being sent to you right now. We will start your blessing with you sitting. I will offer my presence and my prayer to Yeshua. And then the blessing givers will join me in conducting this awesome sacred energy for you. Oh Lord, King of Kings, Son of God, the one who has mastered the art of living for our benefit, that you have given everything to us, including the body of your life, and brought it back through perfect spirit to teach us that even the resurrection is in store for us, is part of God's promise for us. All things given to you will be given to us in due time of readiness, in due time of receiving and fulfilling through our own being. We thank you for your presence in our life. We thank you for your presence on this earth. We ask that your presence be strongly felt among all of those who are in positions of leadership, that they may lead from their presence and their presence with God to the most perfect union that can be provided among us all, that we may all strive for unity through love, through unity for forgiveness, unity for blessing, and the creation of a higher and better place in which to live and share life. We ask your blessing upon each person in this assembly and all of those whom they love in turn, for all the children who inspire us to be the children of our own life. who are our teachers about the subject of innocence. We ask you to feed the hungry. We ask you to give clothing to those who need protection and a place to sleep for those who need peace. We ask that we all contribute to the eventual perfection of our unity as one fellowship in God. In your holy name, we ask these things, and we ask that the blessing givers will now join us as you, the receivers, continue your prayer to direct the blessing where you most feel it is needed and will serve its purpose. Amen. 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 And amen. Your blessing has been given. And now, I want you to find a place to lie flat. Your bed, a sofa, the backyard with a blanket on it. Just be at peace within yourself. Let the blessings unfold within you. Don't even continue your prayer. No thoughts. No thoughts. Just you and God. You and the Holy Spirit. Forever. Amen. Amen.